They warn you. They say, do not work with children and animals. I don't know about the animals, but I have worked now with two professional child actors, and I have survived. And we're here to talk to them today, Caroline Heffernan, John Francis Babbo. First of all, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And second of all, before we begin, are you guys doing this because your parents are making you? You're fulfilling their lost, desperate dreams? You can tell me. We can call child services. We can get some help for you if you want it.
No, not at all.
No, it's for me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 395, Being Child Actors. As regular listeners will know, I was in the Looking Glass Theater Company world premiere production of In the Garden, a Darwinian love story, which finished its 10-week run here in Chicago last night. We were a cast of six, four grown-ups and two kids. And these two kids, Caroline Heffernan and John Francis Babbo, were terrific. I realize now that in order to really talk about the mechanics of being a child actor, I should have talked to their parents, but maybe that will be a future podcast called Raising Child Actors. I don't even know kind of where to begin talking with you guys, because I've never worked with professional child actors. You guys are professional. Well, you're getting paid for it, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. And it's not, you're not supporting your families, because hopefully they're still supporting you somewhat. Hopefully. But this is a thing you have chosen to do. Caroline, why did you want to be an actress?
Well, my brother started acting before I did. Mm-hmm. He just got into it. I don't know how he got into it, but I saw him acting and kind of seemed interesting to me, so I wanted to try it too.
Okay. And yet you're still doing it.
It's really fun.
It has continued to be fun. John?
I've always liked acting, and then my mom kind of wanted to keep me busy one summer, so she just invited me to do a open call for a show, The Goodman.
Okay.
And I got in, and then I really liked it, and so then I got an agent, and then that's how I kind of started.
Okay. So like any actor, you kind of do it, you get the bug, and you think, hey, this is pretty good. Hey, people are hiring me to do this. Maybe I can continue to do it. How old are you, Caroline?
I'm 14.
I know a woman should never admit her age, but still. Johnny?
I am 27.
Yeah, because I thought you looked young for your age, because you're, I think you're almost 14.
Yeah,
but
I'm 13.
You're 13. But honestly, you both look younger than that.
We do look younger.
And both of you, here's the other maddening thing, both of you have worked at more professional theaters around Chicago and probably around the country than I have. You little bastards. Johnny B., you were on Broadway, right?
Yes.
In?
Christmas Troy the Musical.
Okay. And did that was cast here, obviously?
Yes. Well, I started doing it on a tour, and then went to Raleigh and Hershey and Detroit. And then the next year, I auditioned for it again for the one on Broadway, and I got it.
And Caroline, you're a recurring character on Chicago Fire, is that right?
Not recurring. I was in one episode.
Wait, Johnny B's a recurring in Chicago Fire too?
Well, I was in seven episodes for that.
He's a jerk, isn't he?
I know.
What the? Okay. Well, all right. You can. All right. Now, so clearly, I need to become 13 and look adorable like you guys do to work more. But how does it work on a practical level? Like, do you guys go to school? Are you homeschooled? Caroline, start with you.
I go to school. My school is really understanding about the whole acting thing and really supportive about it. So my principal worked out a system where technically I'm homeschooled for a couple weeks, especially during tech, where I'm going to be missing a lot. And my teachers just give me my work and I hand it in to them whenever I'm ready to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really awesome.
Cool. And you were the valedictorian of your recent middle school graduation.
Yes, I was.
Right?
Yeah.
Congratulations. So you were an artist and a scholar?
I guess so.
That's what my grandma says.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, for her. And Johnny B., you're homeschooled.
Yes. This was my first year being homeschooled. Just because it was easier, like especially with this show, that during tech I can kind of work around it, maybe take a week off and then do more work the next week.
Right. And is that, do you miss, John, do you miss being in school?
Yes and no. Like, I really miss my friends, and I miss the social aspect of it. But it's, like, a lot less stressful, and I get to work. I can eat snacks and soda in my class. And it's like...
Remember, people will hear this.
Like, take breaks and watch TV and stuff like that. So.
What's it like hanging out with mostly people not your age? Is that weird? Is it strange? Is it fun?
I think it's really fun. I know a lot of kids my age can be kind of catty and going through a stage in their lives where they're not the greatest people to hang out with, but it's fun. It's really fun.
And you're hanging out with actors who can also be catty and not the best people to hang out with.
Yeah, no, but all the actors are awesome. They've been so nice to me, and they're awesome.
Do you find, I mean, it's a grown-up atmosphere. Do you find you've aged? I mean, both of you are very mature, and it's been terrific to hang out with you, but do you ever feel like you're hanging around grown-ups and they say something, you go, whoa, wildly inappropriate? Or do you just laugh it off?
I feel like it's, like, used to it more now. I feel like it's fun to talk with adults. Usually they know how to, like, talk to children. They treat you more like they're equals, not like the, like, sometimes if you meet adults in public, they'll be like, oh, you're like 7 years old. No. So that you treat you as your peers, which is nice.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, regardless of our age, we're on stage doing the same work.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it with a lot more gray hair. speaking of gray hair, is this a thing that you guys think you want to pursue as you get older? Or is this a childish phase you guys are going to grow out of?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of different options that I want to do. There's a lot of different, like, jobs that I like to explore. And it's not the most, it's not the best way to provide for your family, I guess you could say.
Not the steadiest work, yes. I guess is what you're saying.
but maybe. I don't know. I think it's keeping my options open.
That's smart.
People always laugh when I say this, but I know, especially from being around more adult actors, that it doesn't really have good job security. So I really enjoy doing it, and I will keep wanting to do it as a hobby, but I think I want to have a different job. But I will want to continue in my free time.
And what is it, can you articulate, I mean, I know a lot of grown-up actors who can't, so I'll put it onto you. Can you articulate why it's fun or what it does for you?
I feel like you get, like, a buzz when you get on stage, and it's, like, a fun way of, like, becoming different people and, like, I don't know. Like, expressing, like, your emotions in different ways and be able to, like, especially when, like, on a big stage and there's so many people watching you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun.
I think it's fun because you get to meet so many different people and you form relationships with people.
And Caroline, you just, right before, actually, you were still running in a production of Gypsy at Chicago Shakespeare Theater as we began rehearsals back in March. Talk about the personification of a bad childhood actor's experience. How was that? Were you Baby June,
I was Baby Louise.
Baby Louise, okay.
Yeah.
And did you go, oh, thank God that's not my life?
No, I'm very glad that I have a different life than that. Well, my mom is very supportive of me. She's always there for me. And with my siblings were child actors too, so... and they still are actors, so she's supportive of all of that, us, and...
Yeah, your mom isn't screaming at you to go back into vaudeville and provide for the family.
Yeah, no, she's not. Yeah. She's really supportive, and she's awesome. She, yeah.
And your families will be cool if you both go, I think I'm done.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents always say, whenever you're done, you can be done.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Until the last day in July, you can't see us anywhere. You may recall from previous episodes of the podcast that you were going to be able to see us perform The Complete History of Comedy abridged at the San Jose Repertory Theater. Well, as if to drive home the point that theater is not a very stable business to go into, the reason I'm not saying we're performing there anymore is that without any warning, the board of directors of San Jose Repertory Theater closed the theater and filed for bankruptcy. This is a shame, not only for us, but for Bay Area audiences in the South Bay.
The only slight bit of good news about this is that Bay Area audiences will be able to see us perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company, just north of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge in Mill Valley, California, from Thanksgiving to Christmas 2014. And on the last day of July until August 25th, we will return to the Pleasance Theater at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival to perform the European premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged for 4 weeks. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. There's the practical element, too, of getting you guys where you need to go. Now, here, when you're at the theater, you have a wrangler, which is a job I didn't even know existed until this show. But the woman, Emily, who's taking care of you, making sure you go to make all of your exits and entrances. I mean, she's really on you like glue. It's great. Do you always have that at every theater?
I've had it for every show except for one show.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had it a lot. I think I was in two shows that didn't have it. But yeah, they're great. It's really nice to have someone who's looking out for you.
Well, and I've met your parents, and they're all terrific too. Which is, I mean, that's the other horror story. The other stereotype is the stage parents, and I guess that's one of the great things about having a wrangler, is that the parents drop the kids off, and now we don't need to deal with the parents anymore. That's another set of people we don't need to deal with, because we've got the wrangler watching you. We only have to deal with the. And I don't think in this rehearsal process many concessions were made for you guys. I mean, you guys were just part of the ensemble, like we all were. We didn't stop rehearsal at 9 o'clock so the kids could go off to bed. You know, no, we all stayed up as late as we. Yeah, I mean, I thought I would get some breaks just because you guys were getting breaks, but it didn't happen that way. Are there other things in the theater you want to pursue other than acting? Do you know yet?
I think it'd be really fun to be a director. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be so cool just seeing. I think it'd be really cool to direct shows and write shows, because just, it always seems fun, and you can use your creativity in different ways, and I don't know.
Yeah, directing and writing would be awesome, and
you just wrote your valedictory speech, too, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to do film, too. I haven't really been able to do a lot of film. I've done some of it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my brother also wants to be a director, so I've gotten to see kind of what that's like, and it's awesome. It's really cool.
Do you guys have any warnings for other kids or grown-ups who want to be actors? What's your advice?
Don't think you're the biggest thing. You're always going to get, like, say, there's so many no's, uh-huh. But keep on going and just,
okay.
And don't think you're the best thing, too, because that's obnoxious.
That's I agree 100%.
Yeah. You should definitely try it. It's really fun and it's a great way to spend time. But yeah, you just have to keep going because you're not always gonna get everything that you try out for. But you have to keep your hopes up.
What about show romances, or as I like to call them, showmances? Do you have any wild stories of showmances?
One of the shows I was in. Two people, I think, ended up getting married, and I've been in other shows where people have started dating, and they seem to still be. But I think.
You know what? It just occurred to me. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to hear about it.
I did have one with a kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've grown out of that now. Oh, some time.
I haven't
past.
Seen him in like 5 years.
Okay. No, I know.
It wasn't that big either. I was like 8.
No, I get it.
Ooh,
I get it.
Really?
I get it. You move on. We move on. The show closes and we move on. We vow to stay in touch, and we never do. We never do. Johnny B, any?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Two. I've heard about them.
He does a showmance and tell. He's always a gentleman. And would you guys ever do a school play?
My grammar school never had any school plays, but in high school I might. I'll have to see how that's. Yeah,
okay.
It'd be fun. I want to direct a play in high school, maybe, or like help direct.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's
fun.
A great idea. Oh, and Johnny B, you could do a school play in your living room.
Yeah, like I think it'd be fun to do with your friends. It would, and it's like a lot less stressful. You don't like. It's not the. You're not getting paid for it. It's not a job, so just like a.
Right. Well, you're doing it for the art of it. Although we're doing it for the art of it. Are we not?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Maybe the theater is a healthy environment. My sense is that John and Caroline will continue to be a success no matter what they end up pursuing. Send us your stories of being a child, anything, via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, once a child, always a child, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Chai Monkey. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to grown-up child Weird Al Yankovic, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 395 1185ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You've been hanging around here, the cast of In the Garden at a Darwinian Love Story at Looking Glass Theater with Cindy Gold and Annie White, Rebecca Spence, and myself. What's the most inappropriate swear word you've heard any of us say?
John.
Well, you guys are learning a lot. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.